Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And it's starting to really blow and be windy here at the studio. And we've blown in a very special guest that I'm very honored to have. Our next guest in studio, he is the founder of an organization that is celebrating 60 years and 15 of those years in Ireland. It's called Operation Mobilization. And in the studio to tell us more, we have George Verwer. You're very welcome to the show this morning.
Great to be here. Great to be back in Dublin.
It's great to have you here, too. It's very stormy out there. Really appreciate you coming all the way into the studio. And I can't believe 60 years. That's a lot of years. Tell us about the beginnings of Operation Mobilization.
Well, I was still a teenager. I had just come to know Jesus from a nominal Christian family in a Billy Graham one night meeting in New York City near my home. And it just changed my life. I started seeing a lot of people come to Jesus in my high school. And then I ended up going to Mexico after my first year at college, at university. And I saw that God could, I was still learning Spanish, but I saw that God could use us even as young people. And later we discovered this was one of the birthplaces of short-term missions. Last summer, over 1 million people were involved in short-term missions.
Wow.
But back in 1957, it was pretty well unheard of. So our real explosion really took place, however, in Europe, when after failing to getting caught smuggling Christian literature into the Soviet Union, I went for a day of prayer, and my vision completely changed, and God gave me the name Operation Mobilization. The early vision was only communist countries, Muslim countries, closed countries. Western Europe was not in our thinking. But through that failure, in that day of prayer, I realized I need to fall into the ground with the church in Western Europe and let the church take up the challenge of these impossible nations like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm.
And God moved me from Madrid to London as I turned the work over to Spaniards. And Great Britain, especially the universities, were really ripe for this strong message I always had of discipleship, commitment, and missions. So by the next summer, we had 200. By the next summer, we had 2,000. And since then, 200,000 have served with Operation Mobilization. By the way, the 15-year celebration is for this special training base. We never had any property here. So it's 50 years since the great training base was opened here. But in fact, Irish people have been involved for about 55 years from the very early days, 63.
Wow.
The Lindsay brothers, and we've had a stream of people from this area working with us. But only 15 years since we opened this main training base here in Ireland.
Now, George, I have a question for you, because you've been doing this for a while. You started as a young person, and you've been doing this for 60 years. Have young people changed through the years? Are today's millennials different to the young people 30 or 40 years ago in terms of motivating them to go out and to do missionary work and being receptive to the missionary work that's there?
Absolutely. Young people are very different today. I think, however, the similarities are just as great as the differences. And we're finding a lot of young people responding to the challenge. Keep in mind, I am not the leader anymore. We moved everything down to the younger generation, so I'm not a good picture of OM today. At our Teen Street event in Germany, which is very different from what we did in the early days, we had close to 4,000 people counting all the staff. And many of those, these are younger teens, because the old days in OM, we didn't accept you until your university, college age.
Mm-hmm.
That's also going on simultaneously. But I think this generation is more relational. And if we're not willing to get relationships with these teens and listen to some of the things they're struggling with, many from broken families, many young men, we had this similar struggle, but it's tougher today. Struggling with pornography, if we're not willing to have relationships, then I don't think we're going to see them make the kind of long-term commitment that I think was easier to get 50 years ago. There's certainly a lack of willingness for long-term commitment. This is why OM is sort of ideal, because we got all these little packages, even 2 weeks, plus a year or half a year, to get you started and get that relationship. So we're very thankful that Operation Mobilization, under the leadership of Lawrence Tong, was actually Chinese, he was here a few months ago, is still going strong.
Yeah.
Especially the ship ministry.
How did it grow, do you think, so well? It started very small, and as you said, it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. What is the success of it, do you think? What's the secret there?
I think most people would agree that it's prayer, O.M., from its birth, from the lady who prayed for me and sent me that Gospel of John, and there's a film about that, by the way, now, has always believed that it's through prayer that we accomplish his purposes, and one of our main prayer challenges was Matthew 9, pray that the Lord of the harvest shall send forth workers. So we prayed specifically for that which has in fact taken place, and those special prayer gatherings continue around the world. But I think then a balance of scripture, a strong emphasis on discipleship, but with it a strong emphasis on grace and love tied in with friendship. And we were a very relational movement. Got much more complex as we got so big, but it's still there and is a key factor in our growth.
And tell me, over the years now, this is a question that is kind of rolling around in the back of my head, George. You've been at this a while, and over the years, would you say there were ever any times when the fire in your belly for sharing the gospel message, did it ever flicker or fade, or has it always been really, really strong? What were your own personal situations and struggles like over the years?
I, to be honest, have more daily struggles. And since I learned how to deal with those struggles, I've never really had a day in which I haven't experienced God's grace. But I've had certainly some miserable hours. And for me, it's always been a daily, I get struggles with discouragement like almost every day. How do you read the news and see what's going on and not have questions? And we have minds, we can't stop thinking. So I've always also been sort of a doubting Thomas, really wondering, is the Bible and what I believe, which is quite strong stuff, and I'm taken to the whole world, is there really, really truth? So I have been, I remember once in the streets of Bombay giving out tracts and thinking, what, am I so arrogant? I think I'm going to heaven and these people all around me aren't going to heaven. So I have lots of struggles. And I believe great faith is not in the absence of doubt and struggles and all of our humanness. And that's why my latest book has actually been called Messiology, which is my own word.
It's a good word.
Yeah, it's built on my George Vorwerk proverb, which you won't find in the Bible, so I'll share it with you. Where two or three of the Lord's people are gathered together, sooner or later there's a mess. So I've had 60
That's
years
really
seeing all kinds of messes in churches and mission agencies. So messiology for me is the way that God works within in the midst of the mess, because that's all he has to work with. He only has us. And he knows we fail. We sin. The Bible says clearly, if you say that you don't sin, you deceive yourself. Now, that's easy to say theologically, but I think some of the problems are it's very hard for us to live with one another's sinfulness. And especially in the Western church, we are injected with a form of spiritual perfectionism. So we get ticked off. Even when we're listening to a sermon, the poor guy says one thing that we feel is a bit screwy, we're ticked off. I just feel there's a different way in which we're just more forgiving, more big-hearted. In some ways, we forgive before it even happens because we have a mindset of love and of care and of reality that, yes, things do go wrong, but God is God, and he works in the midst of very messy situations. And my new book over here, it's called More Drops, Mystery, Mercy, Messiology in the States. By the way, I live in London, England. I'm not planning to go back to America. It's 50% cheaper to die in England than it is in the States. So I think I'll stay here with my English grandkids.
And you know, you one of your slogans for Operation Mobilization is that it's transforming lives. Now, when you have an organization that's grown to the size that you've grown to, how do you make sure you don't lose sight of the individuals? And when you have so much going on in so many different places, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's a constant struggle. At the same time, we seem to have an enormous amount of staff that's caring for the rest of the staff, much more than the early days. By the way, the word transformed didn't exist in the early days of OM very much, and it pictures OM as it is today because 15 or more years ago, OM embraced social action, social concern, justice. We got involved in the AIDS crisis. We got involved in the global sex traffic crisis. Very different from our first 45 years. We believed those things were important, but we felt other people were doing that. I mean, we're overwhelmed with what we're attempting to do. We're still new people in missions. So it's 15 or so years ago when Peter Maiden stepped into the leadership, though I embraced the same concept, and that's where the word transform, because this was happening in other agencies all over the world, the word transform became a major buzzword in missions that we want to see. Of course, I'm always wanted to see transformation in the church, but now we go beyond the church. We want to see the impact on the community. We want to see the impact as much as possible, even on the nation. I think in that vision, we have to be incredibly careful of destructive idealism. And I hear a lot of really strange over-the-top prayers, like we're going to like take over the arts, we're going to take over even nations, that I think is unreality and not what the Bible teaches. Narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Of course, the more the better.
Yeah. So looking back on your life, George, what are you most thankful for?
I think I'm most thankful for my wife, a wonderful woman. We've had a great marriage, 57 years, faithful to one another and Jesus. I'm also very thankful to be honest, for good health pretty well all my life. Some problems with vocal cords way back. Of course, thankful that Jesus would ever save a character like me and that he could ever use me. I had a lot of struggles as a young Christian, and I still do, I think, if I'm honest. So I'm very thankful for the way the ship vision became a reality, because that was considered one of the craziest things that I ever did. And I'm so glad that India has become now a full church movement, 3,000 staff out there, about 3,000 different churches, some very small. So I'm very involved with India, where I lived for a number of years and helped start that work. So, yeah. You know, I have lots to be thankful for.
Lots to be thankful for. And what are your hopes for the future?
Well, I'm just trying to be a servant. I'm not a leader. I chose total closure with leadership, which surprised some people, especially Asians. That includes advisory. So I'm mainly involved in preaching, teaching, praying for people, especially individuals, and also raising funds. We discovered the hard way that the money was a lot harder in God's work to get than the people. And we lost so many people all these years because they just, you know, we're a faith ministry where you have to raise your own support. We're not saying that's the only way. Thank the Lord for, I think, the balance we have in processing that and the variety of ways that God works. Nothing wrong with getting a salary. But we're down the road of sort of Hudson Taylor and C.T. Studd and what's called faith missions. There are many of them. So we all have to raise our own support, including me. And that's not so easy. Mm-hmm. But one of the greatest encouragements in OM's history is the financial provision. And the budget has pretty well grown every year for 60 years, and it started very small.
I imagine it did. What are the celebrations that are taking place this weekend? Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, it's the 60th anniversary of the birth of OM. We consider the birth, even though the bigger birth was Europe, we consider the birth Mexico. When three of us went to Mexico from college in the summer of 1957, but then we're celebrating the big step forward we took here in Ireland when we opened this training base and ministry center, which was a huge project. So we're celebrating those two things at the same time. And of course, having a celebration causes former OMers to come together. So this is a reunion day, and I'll be meeting people who were on OM in the 60s, OM in the 70s, who were on the ship, a steady stream of wonderful Irish, mainly young people, but not only young people. Some of the greatest financial gifts I had in the 60s came from an elderly woman from here in Dublin. Then she ended up coming over and cooking for us.
Yeah.
She kept handing me these big checks. So she's laid up some treasure in heaven. God bless her.
God bless her. Well, George, we're so excited that you came in this morning and that you're able to share with us some of your thoughts. And we wish you all the best in your celebrations over the next few days. You can meet George at two celebration events for 60 years of Operation Mobilization Worldwide and the 15 years of the Irish Training Base at Swords Baptist Church today. That's at Saturday the 21st at 7:30 p.m. And you can also meet up in Crinkin Church in Shankill. That's in South Dublin tomorrow, Sunday the 22nd at 11 a.m. For more information, you can go to the OM office 090-662-3964. Thank you so much.
And you can email me and get a free book and a free film. We'd love to hear from you. george.verwer@om.org.
Thank you so much, George.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.